Well, good morning, Metropolitan. It's good to see you this morning. Let's stand and turn our hymn books, page 341. 341. Victory in Jesus. Sing with me. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, and put His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Let's sing it all. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory! My Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Amen. Thankful for that victory. It's ours in Jesus. Thankful that we can be here today and rejoice together in that victory. Lift our voices to give Him the glory and honor and a bit of the praise that He so richly, richly deserves. It's good to see you. Good to be in with my brothers and sisters in Christ in God's house this morning. Trust that the Lord's going to meet with us in a beautiful way. And it's good to see my church family. It's good to see visitors in our midst. And so, church family, as we take a moment to welcome each other. But before we do that, I thought it might be good that we would just take a moment and pause and pray for all those that have been struck so tragically by old Harvey. You know, you have some visitors that come and they just don't want to leave. And Harvey has certainly been one of those, as the devastating effects and aftermath now of this flood goes on and on and on, and will go on for months and even years for many of the dear folks that live in the greater Houston and area and across South Texas. So why don't we stop and just pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, and we're grateful for the throne of grace. Grateful for that place where you've invited us, your people, to come to seek your help in times of need, to find that mercy and grace. And Father, we come on behalf of the folks that have experienced such tragedy over these last week, those that have been flooded and the winds have destroyed homes. And Father, that even today as we're here enjoying this place and enjoying a place where we can worship you, there's still many that are in centers and in motels and with family that have no idea when they're going to be able to return to their homes or what they'll find when they get there. And so I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, we're asking you to do for those ones and encourage them and bless them. But also I'm asking you for churches in that whole region. Lord, please bless those ministries that help them to minister in this tragic, tragic time. Lord, to meet needs, yes, but to meet the needs of souls. To be able to communicate your great love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, on this end, help us to continually hold them up before you, but also that whatever way we may be of aid on this end of the road. We ask you, Lord, for your great help in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other.
All right, if we can return back to our seats, let's turn to page 150. Page 150. He lives, and I'm so glad he is alive today.
I serve the risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
On the last,
rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Please be seated. please stand with us once more and turn to page 34. Page 34, and then we're going to sing page 35 right after that. After the last verse.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From on safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living my faith. And feel no alarm.
On the third,
I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From on safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that is Lord.
One more time.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll go over. We'll do that too. Receive this morning's offering and then go over some announcements while we do this. Happy Labor Day. Got a long weekend here and looks like a few people have taken advantage of it. And just pray for them while they're gone. And when they get back, tell them they was missed. Maybe tell them, send them a text along the way. Say, hey, we missed you. Find somebody around that's not here and say, I hope you've had a good time. We'll be glad to see you when you come back. Find somebody and send them a loving message. So Brother Turner would like to meet with all those who's interested in going to the promise immediately after the morning service. I assume right here front center. Right here, front center. So if you're interested in going to the promise, immediately after the morning service this morning, right down here, we've got also some details to go over with about that. We have several ladies' events coming up. The ladies' brunch on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Ladies, the Bowie Trade Days, that's going to be, bless you, September 9th. Ladies' fellowship is September 12th. And ladies' retreat, that's coming up right around the corner also. Please see Miss Marcia on any details about any of those. So we also have a youth activity here coming up toward the middle of the month. We're going to take the kids to do laser tag. And we still need some help with some greeters. And guys, just one day a week or one day a month is all we can, if you can do that for us and schedule you in. We need somebody who'll smile and open the door and greet somebody genuinely and be faithful about it. We really need some help with that. And, of course, we need help all over this place, little things here, little things there. If there's a place that you'd like to serve with and help with, but the greeters see Brother Jacob on that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for keeping us here, Lord. Lord, we've already made mention of the folks down in Southeast Texas, Lord. Lord, asking for their protection for those who went through that. Lord, we don't understand why you allow that to happen. And you might have a very specific reason for a specific person. And it may be like possibly Jonah and what he went through. But Lord, it might be just that you said, hey, I'm God. Pay attention. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for keeping us safe up here. Lord, we're asking you to be with those who's traveling. And Lord, keep them safe and bring them back to us. Lord, be with the offering you're about to receive. Be with the gift and the giver. And Lord, momentarily when the preacher comes here, the reason why we're here today, Lord, is to hear from you. Lord, please, please give him the freedom, the words you want him to say. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Tell you what, I've wrote a lot of songs. I guess they're going here. I'm on my way to heaven. Come, you'll smile with you. I'm on my way to heaven. Sinners say my grace. It's all because of Jesus. He's prepared for me a place. Heaven's full of mansions, and one will be mine. I'll walk the streets of gold up there, praise Jesus all the time. Oh, won't it be wonderful to see our Savior there? My heart is so happy to leave this world and all its sin. Jesus is returning, time is very near. So get aboard to praise the Lord and meet Him. There's plenty room for everyone for all eternity. Ask Jesus to save you, salvation is free. Rich or poor or young or old, He loves us just the same. Heaven will be home for you if you call on Jesus' name. Oh, won't it be wonderful to see our Savior then. My heart is so happy to leave this world and all its sin. Jesus is returning. Time is very near. So get aboard, praise the Lord, and meet Him in the air. Praise the Lord and meet Him in the air, in the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jim. You can be turning, if you would, to three. Yeah? Yes, three passages of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, 29-31, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. And we're going to be reading there that concerning the same event that's recorded in all three of those Gospels. And I was going to pick one of them and just read from that one, but there's just a shade of difference between the three accounts. And each of the Bible writers given us a detail or two more than maybe the other one did, or different ones, and all, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. If you found your place in Matthew chapter 8, we'll begin there. Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, stand with me in reverence to the good Word of God. Reading in verse 14, it says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them." And then in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and beginning to read there in verse 29, it says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And when he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." And then in the Luke passage, his account of this same event, in beginning to read in verse 38, says there, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them." Well, Father, once again, we bow before you today, and we're asking you to take your word as we've read it. Certainly, we would ask you to bless it to our hearts and use it, Father, to deal with us in exactly the way that you would see fit and fashion for each of us. Lord, I pray that you'd give illumination and understanding to the preacher. Help him to declare exactly what you would want for us today. And certainly, we pray that you'd give that liberty, but also that you'd set a hedge that nothing would be spoken that you wouldn't want declared. Father, thank you for each one in this room today. Father, I ask you to enlarge our hearts to hear from you. Lord, I don't know what the different needs are throughout this auditorium, but I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would deal with us exactly where we're at. It may be there's some here today that are yet, even yet, without Christ, without that hope and confidence of where they'll spend eternity. Father, please magnify your Son, lift him up, that indeed he'd be pleased to draw savingly, gloriously to himself. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus today. Thank you for your love for us through him. For it's in His name and for His glory we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, we'll be seated. By now, that I love to talk about, I love to preach about what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us in our salvation. It is always my honor to declare His provision of forgiveness of sin and cleansing, of course, from that sin, that you and I could know eternal life. And of course, all that is ours, because that one day when we put our faith, our trust in Him. But there's a simple question I'd like to ask today. Ask all of us that are saved, and that what does it do? What does it do in the life of those that are saved? What does it accomplish? What does it produce in that one that has been saved? This event that took place, and we could kind of read through just a couple verses in each of the Gospels. It would be easy to kind of pass over it and not really give much attention to this event. But we see here the Lord's coming to the house of Peter. The Lord's coming to Peter's house. And of course, to get there, He had to leave somewhere. We don't go anywhere without leaving somewhere. Well, He had left the synagogue on this day and made His way to Peter's house. And we'll look at Mark's account of this, and we'll refer to Matthew and Luke as we go along. But in Mark chapter 1 in verse 29, it says, "And forthwith," well, I know you all used that word 4 or 5 times already today, "forthwith," all that means it is at once or immediately. "Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew." Of course, Simon and Andrew were brothers, and they had some partners in their fishing endeavor by the name of James and John. So as we track this day of ministry in the life of our Savior, we find Him, of course, He's been preaching, He's been teaching in the synagogue. And I appreciate Mark's Gospel. Of course, Mark's Gospel focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ in His work as a servant. And as you would look down through that chapter, look at how many verses start with the simple little word "and." Over and over again, and. And it speaks to the ongoing ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was nearly nonstop, as it's recorded in Mark's Gospel. And we find, as we mentioned, they had just left the synagogue. Well, what was the synagogue? What was this synagogue thing all about? Well, the synagogue was a meeting place. It was a place that the Jews would gather in for the reading and hear the explanation and exposition of the Word of God, of course, the Old Testament Scriptures. And, of course, where they'd pray together. It was a place of public prayer. It was in much the sense of a place of worship. A place of worship. In whatever city or town where there were at least 10 Jewish men, a synagogue could be established. And we find synagogues throughout Judah and Galilee and throughout that region, of course, the homeland of the Jewish people. But they were also found throughout the Roman Empire. Wherever there was a concentrated population of Jews, you would also find a synagogue, or maybe a few or several synagogues, depending upon the size of the city. So we come to the conclusion. The synagogue was a place. It was a building set aside for the worship of the Jewish people. Not in place of the temple. Of course, the temple was that place where all the sacrifices were carried out. No, the synagogue wasn't to replace the temple. The synagogue was a place for the Jews to gather in those remote places apart from Jerusalem. Well, with that information in mind, along the way through the years, there's been someone here or there will come along and they'll say, "Well, you know, we shouldn't even have church buildings. You know, that's just not necessary. We shouldn't have church buildings." Their reasoning is that they didn't have church buildings in the first century. So you and I shouldn't have church buildings today. But I have a little problem with the consistency of that thought, because where do we find the Lord Jesus Christ? We find Him in the synagogue teaching and preaching and, of course, explaining the Scriptures. And nowhere do we find the Lord Jesus Christ condemning the practice of the synagogue or the use of the synagogue. Rather, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, a little earlier in the chapter that we just read from, it says this, Luke 4 verse 16, "And He," speaking of Jesus, "came to Nazareth," of course that was His hometown, "where He had been brought up, and as His custom was." What's that mean? It means as His usual practice was. As His practice, His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So we find that the Lord Jesus Christ frequented the synagogues when He wasn't in Jerusalem for that place to share the Word of God. When we come to the book of Acts, where do we find the Apostle Paul teaching whenever he arrived in a new town or city? That's right. He'd go to the synagogue. And we do not find the Apostle Paul condemning the erecting of synagogues for the purpose of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God and prayer. No. In fact, the early believers, Christians, continued to meet in the synagogue essentially until they were run off, until they were thrown out excommunicated in a sense from Jewish life by the Jewish leadership. So again, with that all said, in the first century, the believers didn't put up church buildings. Mainly because they couldn't. They wouldn't be permitted by the Roman government nor by the Jewish leadership. They were persecuted by both of them. It wasn't until later in the early 4th century when Christianity was legalized, so to speak, by Emperor Constantine that Christians first began to build buildings for the purpose of worship. Now, we could go on to say whether it was a good thing that Christianity was legalized, because along with that, they began to stray from biblical truth and the faithfulness to the Scriptures. Well, to get hung up on such things is a detriment to us, really. Should we have buildings? Should we not have buildings? It's essentially to choke on the old proverbial gnat. And while the weightier things, the more important things, are left undone and undealt with. What did the Lord Jesus Christ focus on? What was He doing in His ministry? Well, in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, our chapter, verses 14 and 15, we read. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison," speaking of John the Baptist, "Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Preaching the gospel was what Jesus was consumed with. Verse 15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." And His call, His challenge, His exhortation was, "Repent and believe the gospel." What was Jesus doing? He's reaching people for the kingdom. He's reaching people for His Father. He went preaching the gospel of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what should our priority be? Same thing. Absolutely same thing. Preach Christ. Preach the gospel. Well, with all that, and that was all free. Back to our Lord's day of ministry here. His day of ministry. In Mark chapter 1 earlier, before we get to our passage, verses 21 to 28 tells us that how busy Jesus was. He had been busy teaching in the synagogue, there in the synagogue, in the city of Capernaum, the home of Peter and Andrew, in the synagogue there in that city. He delivers a man from an unclean spirit, from some sort of a demon. And according to the account in Matthew chapter 8, he has also just healed the servant of the centurion. And now as he leaves the synagogue, we find him at the house of Peter and Peter's brother Andrew. And they are accompanied, as we mentioned earlier, by their old fishing buddies, John and his brother James. Well, now he's at the house. He's at the house of Peter. And at Peter's house, there's a dear lady that's severely sick. His mother-in-law. Sick with a fever. As you might be mindful, in Luke's account, the event is recorded that she has a great fever. And the idea of that word fever speaks of, the word means fiery. A fiery condition. So here this lady appears to be very, very sick. And yes, guys, even the Apostle Peter had a mother-in-law. So you can take heart. Seriously, though, with this, we find that even those that walked the closest to the Lord dealt with tribulation in their life. Even his disciples themselves and their families had to deal with the struggles and battles of life, just like you and I do. Oh, how many times along the way as a pastor, I've heard the question posed that, Pastor, why is this happening? I love the Lord. I want to live for Him. I've tried to stay close to Him. Why is this come into our family? Why am I having to deal with this? Certainly, as we consider what's going on all across South Texas, the question might be asked, why? As Brother Curtis prayed earlier. But beloved, in reality, we understand indeed that the sun comes up on the just and the unjust. The rains fall on the saved and the unsaved. You and I, as believers, you and I, as those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, find ourselves in the same situations and trials that our unsaved or lost neighbors deal with. And so indeed, even as we consider what's gone on in South Texas, Curtis also referred to it's no matter the ability and the strength and the capabilities of man, God is still God. Oh my. And He whips up a storm once in a while just to let us know. And how His great grace is sustained even through such times. Through such times. Oh my. Peter has the Lord Jesus Christ visiting in his house. And we find ourselves often in trials such as they're dealing with. And it's easy for us to succumb to those whispers of the wicked one, isn't it? Oh, God's not so good. Let you go through this. I mean, look at you. You're supposed to be the great Christian. And what are you having to deal with? Oh, my. Such things are a lie out of the pit of hell. They're a lie from Satan himself. Some today teach that if we are sick, well, you must be in sin. If you got some sickness you're dealing with, you better figure out what your sin is. Well, they proclaim that if you're in God's will, you won't have such problems. In fact, they tell you that if you're living for God, you ought to be healthy and wealthy. That's a lie out of the pit, folks. That's a lie right out of the pit. And don't give a preacher that says such things 2 seconds. He's a charlatan. Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Listen to this. It says, "And Jesus saith unto him," Jesus speaking here, "the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Huh? Jesus didn't even have a pillow for his head. Was he in sin? Was he doing something wrong? I think not. In fact, if anything, it's an example to us to live for Him and not consider such things. While He walked this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, didn't have a place to call home. Isn't that something? Wow. Diseases like this, dear ladies, the diseases of intense fever were quite common at this time. In fact, it may well be that she has some sort of malaria or something. If you've ever seen somebody deal with malaria, it's an awful thing. I witnessed a gentleman in Kenya that was experiencing a onslaught of malaria, and it was a horrible thing to witness what he was dealing with. The fever was intense, and the pain that went with it. And indeed, we understand in some parts of the world, malaria is still common. Well, our passages tell us that this dear lady's friends besought the Lord for her. Luke chapter 4, verse 38. They besought, they asked the Lord on her behalf. They pleaded with, the word besought has the idea to beg or to plead. She pleads, they plead with the Lord Jesus Christ to in some way do for this dear lady. Certainly an example to us that is just fine. In fact, it is right to intercede on behalf of others that are struggling in some physical fashion. And again, in the end, as we learn, we submit and we kneel to the Lord and His will. But He invites us indeed to intercede on behalf of others. Well, we see the Lord's healing. The Lord's healing of this lady. The Lord Jesus graciously, He compassionately heals this lady of this fever, whatever sort of fever it was. Matthew tells us that He touched her hand. Mark says that He took her by the hand and lifted her from her sick bed. What a precious picture, isn't it? The compassion of the Son of God Himself. What a precious picture indeed is the healing touch of God in someone's life. In Luke, the account says that He rebukes the fever. And the idea of that word rebuke, that He, just as, we can get the picture, that just as He rebuked the blustery winds and the waves on the Sea of Galilee, He rebukes this fever. And just as the waves calmed, her fever leaves. And peace is brought to this dear lady. Oh my, indeed, a beautiful thing. Now notice, this doesn't take place in the public view. This wasn't in some big auditorium. It wasn't in front of thousands. No, this was not done to impress the crowds. It was simply the compassionate mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ doing for someone in need, with nothing but a few friends and family to witness it. And recorded for us by those very ones. Well, we see a result now of this. We see the lady's service. Title of today's message, I give it to you now, I didn't want to give it to you before. Healed for service. Healed for service. The lady serves her God. In her response to being healed, the story doesn't end, beloved. It doesn't end with her deliverance from the fever. No. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of those Gospels say that when she was healed, she arose and immediately ministered unto them. You know, I don't know about you. But when I was thinking about this week, you know what it's like when you get sick. If you've had the flu, and you're dealing with what, all the stuff that goes with that. You feel so lousy and you got a fever and all that. Oh my. And even when you start feeling better, you're not yourself. Takes a few days, and the older I get, the longer it gets to get back to where you feel like even motivating at all. But a touch of Jesus, a word from Him, and she's healed. She is totally and completely healed and ready to serve. Ready to serve. Two things happened. Two things, in fact, happened immediately when Jesus healed this lady. Number one, Mark chapter 1, verse 31 says, immediately the fever left her. Immediately. She was healed immediately. Secondly, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 39, it says this, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. I like that. I like that. Number one, she couldn't have been more healed than she was healed. She was totally complete. She was one. I don't know. Again, this is Jim Turner, okay? Don't go saying, my pastor said. I've got the confidence she was in better shape than she'd ever been. Jesus healed her. Anything was wrong, I take it for granted. It's history. She's healed. She's made whole. Things happen at Jesus' command. When Jesus commands, things happen. There was a deliverance, indeed. There was a deliverance from a great fever that resulted in a dear lady's immediate desire to do what? Serve. I love it. Her immediate response to being delivered from this fever was, I want to serve. You know where this is going? We see the believer's response. Who's that? Every one of us in this room that's saved. The believer's response to salvation. Think about it. What is the proper response to being delivered from our deadly disease of sin? This does not appear in three of the four Gospels by accident. Huh? God doesn't record anything by accident in His Word. All Scripture, we understand, is given by inspiration of God. And is what? Profitable. We can learn from it. And certainly teach us for our walk with the Lord. Oh, wow. The Christian. Listen to this, please. The Christian, that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been healed of the worst and most serious of all diseases. The killing effects of sin. The ravages of sin. The believer is delivered from the terminal disease of sin and the resulting eternal death that goes with it. Is that biblical? I believe it's exactly what the Word of God teaches. What should our result be? What should our response be to our eternal healing? Shouldn't it be the same? Should it not be that we should arise, beloved, from sin's sick bed and serve? Serve. Now again, I don't get too many amens when I said that. Huh? Who should we serve? Well, the passage says this dear lady served the Lord Jesus and His disciples. What's it say? Says she served them. She ministered unto them. Well, how about us? We've been delivered. We've been healed eternally. We should serve the Lord, should we not? We should serve the Lord. This dear lady ministers to the needs of the Lord. I don't know if she got up and started the biscuits and made a little sausage gravy. I don't know what was going on there. Brother Allen, maybe she made one of those egg casseroles that you've been whipping up. I don't know what was going on. It says she served them. She ministered unto them. Oh my. In response to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, shouldn't we want to serve Him? Now, I don't want to make anybody mad. But you know how that goes. I'm pretty good at it. I'm convinced, folks. I'm convinced that the natural response to being saved from our sin puts within us a desire, a longing to serve our Savior. To serve this one that has done for us in such a way. Be mindful what it cost Him to deliver you from this disease. I believe with all my heart, and you come too late to tell me otherwise, that God puts a desire in you when He saves you to serve Him. To serve Him. To live for His honor. For His glory. And this dear lady, she rises and she serves Him. But also, as it says, she rises and serves not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but the others. What did the passage say? She ministered unto them. Plural. Not only are we to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to serve our fellow believers. We're to serve each other. We're to serve each other. And of course, the Lord has designed that to be done in and through His church. In and through the local church. Now, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the servants in this church. Those who serve. Those that do whatever and all they can to see things go forward here. I appreciate you, every one of you. But, again, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Christianity isn't a spectator thing. Being a member of a local church isn't being a spectator. It's being a member, part of the work, the ongoing ministry. What's that word? Service of the church. The heart of a servant is a very special heart. Now again, as we said earlier, I believe it's the natural result of Christ doing something in us, delivering us. Christ taking up residence in us. Christ, the servant, divine servant, taking up residence in us who to become His servants and each other's servants. And when He, well, again, I quote this verse often, Philippians, you thought I was going to say Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Almost did. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He had a heart to serve, did He not? He had the mind to serve. Mark's gospel says, Jesus declares, I've not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. I didn't come to this earth planet to be served. I came to serve. And He's the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. But He left glory to come and to serve and to do that ultimate act of service. The heart of a servant is a special heart. And though we would say and declare that it is the natural result of salvation, it's not a natural thing. I don't believe it's in the nature of lost man to serve. Now again, we understand there's been some folks that have served mankind and humanity in very great ways that weren't saved. But I don't believe it's the natural thing. Think about this with me. Consider with me just a few things. We're very near done. Some things that's worth taking note of about servants. Number one, there's no task that's below a servant. There's no task that is below a servant. Why is that? Because they're a servant. They see themselves as the person who sees himself as a servant doesn't consider the lowliness of the task. He sees the need. The need. The servant is willing to do what needs done. Yeah, it's getting real quiet in this auditorium. Huh? Again, I'm meddling. You ready? I'm meddling. It amazes me sometimes. I'll see folks walk right by trash. It's like laying on the campus here. I'm thinking, I guess they don't have their glasses on. Huh? I mean, this is God's property. This is the Lord's house. You know, as far as taking care of this place, it takes precedence over my house. This house is more important than my house over on Sky Meadow Drive. This is God's house. Belongs to Him. And so as seeing ourselves as servants, we should put a priority here for the things of God and His house. Dean, I'm thankful for those who serve so beautifully here. I'm trying to get back into grace a little bit. Secondly, number one, what is it? There's no task below a servant. Secondly, there's no way to offend a servant. Let it sink in. You cannot offend a servant. Why? Because he sees himself as a servant. Does it make sense? If I see myself as a servant, then I'm not going to be offended. But I know, beloved, I understand, we're prone to be offended, are we not? We're all made out of this flesh and blood junk, and we tend to get offended. So that's when we have to remind ourselves, hey, are you a servant or not? Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then you have to remind, how often was he offended? He didn't express offense, did he? Why? Well, the only answer is he saw himself as a servant. I know that's painful, but it's truth, is it not?
Amen.
A servant is not offended. Wow. Thirdly, you ready? Have I made you all mad yet? I'm working on it. The servant doesn't complain about his service. These are just basic principles about being a servant, aren't they? Someone with a servant's heart isn't complaining about their service. Why? Because they realize they're a servant. Again, Lord help us. I'm not pointing at you because there's too much pointing back at me. We're easily offended and we are prone to complain. Mentioned that we read a scripture Wednesday night where it talks about murmuring. Yeah? You know, I told the folks I love that word, murmur. It's self-defining, isn't it? It's self-defining. Murmur, 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 murmur. What's murmuring? Murmur, 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 murmur. It's self-defining. We tend to be murmurers rather than servants. Fourthly, and I'm going out the back door. There's nothing that a servant won't do for his master. There's nothing that a servant is not willing to do for his master. For his master. For the servant, his greatest joy is to serve his master. Huh? Who's our master? The Lord Jesus Christ. And as we serve him, we should take great joy in that. Rejoice even that we have that honor and that privilege. And as we're serving each other, we're ultimately doing what? Serving him. So we should take great joy in that as well. Serving each other. And of course, when the Master is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we understand what our Master has done for us, His provision, His care, His love, His mercy, His grace, and on and on and on. For us, we don't serve out of compulsion, do we? No, we serve out of love. We serve Him because we love Him. We serve Him because of how He healed us from our great fever, our great disease. Oh my. Well, again, just so I can try to make up a little ground, I'm so thankful for the servants at Metropolitan Baptist Church. But we need more. We need every one of us, every member of our church, to nurture a servant's heart. When we see a need, when we hear about a need, Sister so-and-so needs some help, what can I do? Huh? Brother so-and-so is working on his classroom. Does he need any help? Whatever the need might be, whatever the situation, thankful for the ones that helped Brother John get that music project squared away. And I think it's an ongoing thing, but a lot of progress has been made on that. In many hands, as my mother used to say, does what? Makes light work. And what a pleasure it is, what a joy it is to labor together for our Savior. Well, this dear lady was healed. Immediately healed at a word, at the command, the word of the Savior, His touch. And she immediately served. Why do we take that example? Where does it start? It starts with His healing, doesn't it? It starts with the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is, have you been healed? Have you been saved? Has the Lord healed you of your disease of sin? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It starts right there with Him. He does that beautiful, beautiful, amazing work. Forgiving you. Cleansing you of sin. Giving you that brand new heart. And it's a servant's heart. It's the heart of a servant. Amen. Are you saved? But secondly, the question for every one of us, every believer in this room, is, am I a servant? Well, we are, whether we realize it or not. But do we have the heart of a servant? If you're saved, beloved, if you're here and you're saved, you're God's servant. You're Jesus' servant. You're a servant. Do you want to serve gladly, joyfully? Or do you want to serve grudgingly? I don't know. People ask you, you know how we are. People ask you how you're doing. And usually we'll say good or fine or something. I'm thankful that I can report to you, as I've said to several folks today, I'm doing super. I'm doing super. Why? Because I'm saved. Amen. Huh? I'm saved. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is still on the throne. Love the old song. Our God reigns. He's not gave up the throne yet. And I can't lose, right? How many times have you heard me say it? When we get it, we'll start rejoicing. I can't lose in this thing. I can't lose. If I drop over before the date, before the sun goes down, I'll wake up in glory. I'm doing super. I'm doing super. I'm certainly, as I said to someone this morning, doing a whole lot better than I deserve. Huh? I deserve what? I deserve for God to open the mouth of the earth and drop me in the pit. That's what I deserve. But I've been saved. I've been saved. I've been delivered from all that. So yes, beloved, I'm doing super. Sometimes that's a little bit of a matter of choice, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
It takes a little preaching. Because there's a lot of times I get up in the morning and the plantar fasciitis and the 66 years or, you know, they're doing a little. Don't you look at me that way, Ricky. You'll get there one day. Huh? You know, I start walking down the hall and it's sort of one of these numbers. You know, I'm on the way to the coffee pot. But then about that time, I'm saying, now, Jim, remember, you belong to Jesus. Huh? I'm saved. It's okay to preach it yourself, Erna. As long as you're quick to say amen along the way, too. Huh? It's great to be saved. Isn't it? I think I heard one amen there. It's great to be saved. Because we're saved, might the Lord please help us. Please help us, Lord, to serve you for your glory. To serve God with the joy of the Lord. Huh? I think that might be contagious if we're not careful. Lord, grant it that we could infect an entire community. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you today for your goodness to us. Thank you indeed for that healing that we received from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the healing touch that delivered us from our sin. The disease that was carrying us to hell. And Father, I pray, Lord, I pray that across this room we would see the joy of the Lord. Our gratitude becomes so infectious, so contagious, that it would spread and spread and spread. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that we would be an example of what you have done. Indeed, Lord, I pray that you put in our hearts a desire to serve you. And to serve each other. Lord, it's easy for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us to become frustrated. It's easy for us to grow weary. But Father, I want to claim the promise of your word. The promise from the lips of the Apostle Paul. That there's reward. There's reward for those who serve you. Lord, we love you. We thank you today. We thank you and rejoice in that love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 12.
As we sing, beloved, just obey the Lord, please. Just obey Him. His altars are open for you to use as the Lord would direct in your heart and your life. Indeed, if you're here today without Christ, oh my, you can be healed. Be healed of your sin, delivered, and made completely whole in Christ. Forgiven, cleansed, eternal life. What a Savior. We rejoice in Him. We serve Him. Let's sing.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Yes, amen.
And now
yes, thank you.
I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior,
sins he cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Next page, the longer I serve him. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Amen. Amen. That's a testimony, isn't it? The longer you serve him, the sweeter it gets. As the old timer said, the gooder and gooder all along the way. Amen. Well, those that are going to be meeting down front about the trip down to watch the promise, just give me a couple minutes. I need to get something out of my office. And for all the rest of you, I love you. I won't be back at the door to say goodbye this morning. Be meeting with these others. So Lord bless you and see you this evening. Have a great afternoon. Brother John.
You thought you were going to get away scot-free, didn't you? Oh, rejoice in the Lord. On the chorus.
Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
You're dismissed.